welcome to another episode of the Drawing Today podcast, where we encourage you to draw every day. Today we'll be going back to early November 2011 to discuss our thoughts on the recent ILLXCON symposium. We also have a couple interviews at the end with some exhibiting artists. We hope you enjoy our candid discussion on ILLXCON, and we hope you're inspired to check out this great event next year.
Welcome to another episode of the Drawn Today podcast, where we try to encourage you to draw every day. we got three of the podcast regulars on today. Why don't we talk about where people can get to know us and see our stuff? Grant?
This is Grant Cooley from www.grantcooley.com.
Mike?
Hi, this is Mike Sass from sassart.com and sassart.blogspot.com.
And I'm Mark Hartshar, and my stuff and all is at markhartshar.com.
So yeah, we just got back from ILLXCON. It was kind of interesting at the showcase. There was a number of people unexpectedly walked by our tables and striked up conversations on how they enjoy the podcast, how they listen all the time, and that they're a little upset there wasn't any new episodes for a while. But I think it was interesting to get some feedback once and for all, and actually it was a bit shocking to realize that people are actually listening. What did you think of that, Mark?
I was surprised.
I mean, forget that noise. I mean, this is good stuff. Have some confidence, guys. Here, we're doing, when we're not doing good work, we're at least doing work. We all have a lot of experiences, a lot of different things going on. And what I think makes Drawn Today a real strength and something that would be remarkable is our approach. A lot of us breaking in, trying to break in, established artists like yourself, Mike. We have a very diverse group. And our podcasts aren't just about things going on in the industry, things that are being covered by a number of different people over a number of different sources. We're bringing literally grassroots, ground floor information from people trying out new things and trying new ways to make it work in an industry that honestly is brand new. The way we can try and get into any of this, the way we can promote ourselves, the way we can interact, develop these social ties, all these things, I really feel is a new thing. The industry, as we might have dreamed of ever being a part of it, certainly what I thought it was going to be or how I was going to get this start, is gone. That whole world is done. It's a lot of disparate artists and people out there doing individual things. And now there's this new movement, which we are definitely tied into. And so is ILLXCON, which is very pertinent to this podcast. Are people doing things a different way and coming together as a group to share those experiences instead of just being a candlelight in the dark? We are a bunch of different flickering flames trying to create a big bonfire, trying to be part of this conflagration. And whether or not it's going to work, who knows? But it's something new. It's something different and a different way to approach it. And it's an exciting thing for me to be a part of. So don't sell it short. We're doing something here, and be proud. Don't be surprised.
Okay,
you know, glad to talk about it.
I retract my statement. I'm going to go with what Grant said.
Yeah. I was thinking when Grant was talking of where I could possibly edit that, but I think it's uneditable. I think we'll have to leave that in.
Yes! Score. You don't know how long I've been working for that.
Yeah. Grant's been practicing not breathing between sentences so that he doesn't provide opportunity for editing.
Yes, sir.
So, anyways.
I start swearing, so.
I think you're right, Grant. I mean, we learned that there are people listening and that people do look at us as you know, I guess, since we're talking, we have a bit of a profile in the industry, you know, albeit maybe amongst tens or even 100 people or a couple hundred or 400, who knows? I mean, we really don't know how many people are listening, but, you know, just out of the people in faraway Nowheresville IlexCon that came up to us and said that they listen to us and they appreciate what we're doing, it's just got to mean that there's more people out there. And it did give us a bit of incentive to continue, for sure. So I guess we're going to talk about this most recent IlexCon, IlexCon 4, and how that was different from the previous IlexCons, if we've seen any trends or if we've seen any, you know, anything happening, and also talk about maybe the plans for the IlexCon 5 and IlexCon 6 and beyond, and not just talk about the trends, but talk about the future plans for IlexCon and maybe how that relates to the overall field. So what do you guys think? Let's just, I guess, be a little clear to the listeners. So IlexCon 5, which will be next year, will be, I think, a carbon copy of the previous four. Same place, Altoona, Pennsylvania, same setup, same venue. But IlexCon 6 in 2013, there's some quite large plans by Jeannie and Pat to sort of up the ante for the whole thing. Just to be clear for the listeners, the plans for IlexCon in 2013 are to move it out of Altoona into Allentown, which is a much larger city, and now house the convention, the symposium, sorry, in the Allentown Art Museum, which is a large, newly refurbished museum. And I think some of the benefits of that are the museum has, you know, better exhibit space, better lighting, larger walls, you know, better traffic flow. I guess the museum itself is across the street from an art college, so they will be able to utilize the space in the art college for more hands-on workshops. So instead of the educational component to the symposium being more or less strictly discussion and panel-based, there'll be more hands-on, more oil painting demonstrations, more intensive workshop aspects. Some of the other things, I guess, an offshoot from having it in Allentown is that you've got the larger population base, which can go there as fans and as art buyers as well. I guess Allentown is, if I'm correct, about 90 minutes. Was it 90 minutes from New York and maybe less than that to Boston? So you've
It's much farther from Boston, but it's only about 45 minutes from Philadelphia.
From Philadelphia, sorry, that's the one. So I guess we have, we're opening up some of these large Eastern Seaboard cities for people. People will, you know, maybe as a fan, as a weekend sort of jaunt, go and check it out, especially if it's in a museum. It'll have that sort of credibility, and it'll have maybe a better marketing budget, maybe a better reach overall. So I think that's positive from the sense of people exhibiting. You know, hopefully the sales will pick up and it'll attract, you know, better exhibitors, and the exhibitors will be more inclined to, you know, to go there every year and not sort of worry about if it's going to pay for itself, if the experience is going to be financially rewarding.
Logistically going to be easier to get to than Altoona, because Allentown has an international airport. I mean, like, for example, I know myself, now that I live in Orlando, Florida, there's a straight shot plane flight that I can take right into Allentown and be there in 2 hours. Whereas Altoona, you know, there's no straight shot. It was there's a dinky little airport. You know, you were taking hops. You were spending, you know, half your day traveling, just logistically trying to get to Allentown is going to be much easier for exhibitors, which might bring more people to be involved.
Right. So yeah, lots of great things, and I think, you know, we can look at the changes being made under sort of a number of banners. One of them is the location banner, which solves a lot of the issues of amenities, of better hotels, better restaurants, more things to do. I mean, people might be more inclined to go there and bring their family, to go and bring the kids, and also the venue aspect, allowing the work to be shown better, perhaps more work and workshops. And then the other component, the major component, is the building of credibility for the show, which goes hand in hand with building credibility for the genre and the industry. So building credibility for the show is happening through the move to host the show in a museum, as well as is having curators now, the or not curators, sorry, judges. Judges for the show are, let's see, the head curator from the Allentown Art Museum is one, and another was the editor, I believe, of International Artist Magazine. And another is Michael John Angel from the Angel Academy in Florence. So, and there was more that I can't remember off the top of my head. But the point is that I think they're making concrete and large steps to talk about the genre and present the genre of fantasy illustration in the framework of overall fine art. So if the editor for International Artist Magazine is getting involved, I would assume there would be a spread on the show in International Artist Magazine, as we've seen with the Illustration Masterclass in the last few years. I know I've seen many articles on the IMC teacher faculty in International Artist Magazine. So it would just logically go hand in hand that if that magazine features IlexCon, then it's just going to reach people all over the world that will see this art probably for the first time without looking for it or knowing it exists. So what do you guys think about these changes and perhaps the potentials that they bring to the table?
I think it's wonderful. This IlexCon growing in prestige and renown is an even more viable approach for the rest of us to gain recognition, to be a part of what is happening, that we can come together from throughout the world and be a part, whether it's in the showcase tables at the level we're at now, or during into the main show floor, being a part of, you know, there's some people that you aren't even on the main floor, but are still part of lectures. There are all these conduits and outlets, and I think that'll grow with the educational space that we'll have available, that being a part of this will lend itself to even more facets and even more opportunities to be included at each of your levels, rather than really just having to be at the top of the game from the get-go, which I, again, as someone who is really pushing themselves and really just trying hard to even get that foot in the door, it feels wonderful to be included. And I, you know, again, I always have things to talk about, and I've got some things to say about that later on, but to have the opportunity to be included in something this wonderful and this big without necessarily having paid some of the dues that other people have, or being as far along, or whatever it is that would get you into many of these other events or showcases, is just a tremendous honor and a tremendous opportunity. And again, I always thank Patrick and Jeannie so much for pioneering this and spearheading it and making it happen for all of us, professionals, aspiring artists, students, everybody alike. Just more opportunities for everybody to be included in something that is fantastic and well run.
Well,
the one thing that I would like to mention, just playing devil's advocate, and I'm sure that Patrick and Jeannie are considering this and have considered this. One of the things that IlexCon has at the moment is the small venue and the ability of the let's say the student or the beginning artist to be able to be viewed at the, you know, on the same level as your professionals, you know, or not maybe as far as, you know, renowned or even experience level, but it's a forum where you can be, you know, on the same playing field with people who have been, you know, top of the industry for decades. And it was always something that was nice about IluxCon. And I'm hoping that with expanding the venue, you know, and having all of these other new options, you know, and having to be juried by, you know, these individuals that are, you know, high caliber people, are not going to curtail some of that opportunity for younger artists and student artists and you know, freshmen to the industry. I'm sure they've thought about that. That's just one of the things that I'm hoping we don't see change.
I don't think it's a concern. Oh, sorry, Mike, go ahead.
No, sir. I think it could have the complete opposite effect. If it is, you know, a juried submission to get in, then we're looking at, you know, maybe more of a meritocracy than, you know, judgment based on reputation. So, you know, if somebody has a great submission and has a whole bunch of great paintings, then, you know, if nobody knows them, well, maybe people should know them, and maybe they should be in ahead of somebody that has a larger name that perhaps, you know, has gotten that name not just through quality, but through, you know, through other promotional means, let's say. But I would just think the jurying, and especially the jurying by people that aren't necessarily completely connected with this genre, would lead to a fresh eye and would lead to the ability for people to get in purely based on their paintings and nothing else. You were going to say, you guys?
What I was going to say was that I don't think they're going to lose that. I think, well, there'll actually be greater opportunities for showcasing and other artists to get in, not necessarily to the main floor, which I think should always be epic. It really should. We've lost some artists that haven't returned for any number of reasons. From what I understand, they were all just previous commitments. But when you have the masters of the field and the rising masters and the people who are changing the field, just you have these different steps and stages of masterful work on the floor, it's devastating and inspiring. And that should stay that way. But then if we have these other opportunities for people, yeah, like you said, if you judge in by merit or freshness of idea, or who knows, you should still have to, I still definitely think it should be more than a first come first served. I know Jeannie and Patrick were trying to find a way to provide all of us with an opportunity to show that was even and fair. And it's nice. I'm glad I was able to show this year and last year, and hopefully we'll get to do so next year. But as who knows if that changes? That I still think there will be more opportunities with a new facility, larger space, different types of spaces, different allocation of resources and space. I really just think it'll lend itself to more, because speaking on a personal level, Patrick and Jeannie are wonderful people that want to include others. They have a deep love and passion for this. And as evidenced by having the showcase and even the IluxCon jam, they want to include people. They want it to be prestigious and inclusive. And I know they won't sacrifice that. I completely disbelieve that might even be a possibility. And I firmly believe that we'll see it grow bigger and more illustrious. So, and especially, you know, with having the other names and the other people, like you said, from other fields, them judging the work that gets in, it might not just be because it's a fantastic looking dragon. It might be because they're pushing some emotive artwork and some amazing figurative work in a different way. Who knows? I mean, there's so many other veins that can be tapped that bring a fresh eye and a fresh perspective to things. And I just think it'll just be bigger and better. So,
Mark.
Okay.
You're wrong. No, not at all.
Okay, well let's talk about maybe trends that we saw. Did we see anything that was different this year that stuck out as being something obvious that was new and perhaps a trend going forward? I'll start off by saying I thought prices were quite low this year. And I guess, you know, that's just the economy working its way into, you know, what people can charge and what the reality is for what people can pay. But I just thought the prices were really low. Like, there was great art there for $400, and we're talking like framed oil paintings, which, you know, you're not going to find anywhere else other than at a place where the artists are selling their own work and not precious about it. What do you guys think about the price trend? Did you see that as well?
I did notice that myself, because I've been to all four ElexCons, you know, since the inception, and to me, the prices of individual pieces did seem lower than previous years. And I don't know if that was due to an influx of newer blood into the main show, people who may have, been rising stars, but were still relatively early in their careers, as opposed to, you know, previous years where, you know, some of the individuals may have been a little more established. I don't know if it was, you know, the economic, you know, state of being today that we have compared to previous years, but I did notice that, you know, the price points that I was considering and setting for my own work ended up being what would be typical for the type of market, as far as, you know, works that you've sold before and you know, pricing it based on previous sales and, you know, some other non-subjective things. And then I looked at the individuals that were in the main show, the main showcase, and thought to myself that the people of the caliber that made it into the main show, my expectation would have been that the price on their work would have been significantly higher than, you know, the expectations of my own work being, you know, newer to the industry. And that price discrepancy was a little disconcerting, considering that I've, you know, been in galleries in larger cities that are considered fine art, and, you know, some pieces are going for 5, 10, 20 times the amount that I've seen, you know, paintings going for, you know, that as far as I'm concerned are just as good a quality, just as good of presentation, you know, just as good at everything. But being that they're considered genre art or fantasy art, you know, the prices were significantly lower. And I'm guessing that you noticed that as well, since you had mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's reasons for that. Obviously, the gallery is not doubling the price and taking their cut, but, you know, maybe another reason is just, you know, the artists at ElexCon are more prolific and are probably not thinking, you know, any one particular painting is their opus and they're going to just make another one next month. You know, I think the volume that's created just lets the artist sell their stuff for less. And then the economic aspect of the general economy and what, you know, things can be priced to hopefully sell eventually, or they can be priced to sell now. And pricing to sell now is probably a completely different price point than selling eventually. So, you know, maybe for for people that don't have permanent gallery representation and maybe only have their work for sale two or three times a year, maybe that leads to the prices being sell now prices rather than, okay, this work is going to be up for 3 months continuously in a storefront and it can sell at a slower rate.
I think having bought artwork every year, several thousand dollars each year, a lot of it does come down to the artist just wanting to sell it. When I didn't attend the first LexCon, but LexCon 2009, I bought a Chris Moeller original and spoke with him for a while. And it was one of his Lucifer covers for the graphic novel series. And I asked, well, you know, it seemed pretty low. I think I maybe paid $600 for this 20 by 30 acrylic cover. I love it. But I was like, you know, is this pretty indicative? Everybody's like, oh gosh, no. And we talked about it for a bit, and he was, you know, basically he brought stuff and priced it to sell. He had some really cool work, and then a lot of work, a lot of his magic work, some of his comic work. He just brought a ton because LexCon is a specific opportunity to show artwork in front of other artists, and collectors are going to get to come and pick and cherry pick work from their favorites. I bought a Michael Whalen study that year and a Brom original of all things when he showed. But so I think you know, pricing is always what do we think we can get for our work, what the likelihood of it is selling. We all have a price point. We're like, okay, this should sell at this price. Sometimes it doesn't. You're like, why did that not sell? I was giving it away. And I think a LuxCon is for some artists. I mean, you see some people that have their traditional prices. It's not marked down at all. It's just another opportunity to showcase and do what they're doing. And it's awesome to see it. It's probably not going to move very much unless there's that diehard fan who just now gets to see it in person and is like, yep, that was it. I got to have it. But I think the majority of them probably, not just necessarily the rising artists or the now magic standards, they're just they're pricing it to move. They're like, I'm going to have more work. You said I'm going to have another thing this next month. If it's especially impressive or received recognition, you know, their prices go up a little bit. But having seen some people showing the same work there for years, some of the prices on the same work has stayed the same, and some of it has dropped. And you know, each year there are pieces you didn't see there. And obviously, whatever formula they're using or whatever means, it seems to be working because a lot of these artists come back and are glad to do so, and it seems to be worth their while. So I know it's kind of vague and mildly evasive, but I think it's just priced to move. I think it's such a unique market and a unique opportunity to show your work and clean out the closet for some of these people that, you know, why not?
So Mark, did you see any other maybe trends this year that were things that were a little different from previous years?
Well, LuxCon is very stable. You know, you're not going to be seeing, you know, huge fluctuations in, you know, the type of things that go on there. You know, it's the art show is pretty static. It's the space is the same size. You know, you have rotating artists coming in and out, so that's, you know, that is a difference. So that space is pretty much been the same for, you know, all 4 years. The one thing that seems to change, be the biggest change, are the lectures and the focus of the lectures. And I noticed that this year there seemed to be a smaller number of lectures, but they were more focused in certain areas. You know, they tried to get certain painting demos in, and if you needed more than an hour to see a painting demo, they created a workshop where you can actually be involved in it, you know, participate, maybe paint yourself. I'm not really sure because I didn't go to any of those particular ones, but that seemed to be different this year than it hadn't been in previous years. The focus of the lectures and the workshops and the demos. Did either of you guys, were any of you involved in any of the workshops that they had this year as opposed to the the demonstration lectures?
No, I didn't go, but I think you're totally right on that. That was a brand new component, was these more intensive, I don't know how long they were, maybe 4-hour type workshops rather than, you know, hour and a half lectures. And these workshops were limited to, you know, 10 people. So, I mean, that's obviously a great addition to the curriculum, is giving people that have a very specific interest, whether it be watercolor or a specific artist that works in a specific method, to give them that one-on-one chance with these artists. I think that's definitely a positive, as long as it doesn't come at the expense of the free programming and the programming that, I mean, it is nice to go to, you know, 3 or 4 things in an afternoon and get a taste or get a bunch of information. I have seen long demonstrations in the past where I could have learned all that I needed to learn in 10 minutes, and you're just spending the rest of the time sort of watching the person scrub their work. So yeah, that was definitely one of the biggest things. I think you're right, Mark. Anything else?
Well, the biggest difference that I noticed for myself, and this, you know, may not apply to anyone else, but I previously lived in Pennsylvania, so I was able to spend a larger amount of time at AlexCon. I had a more focused amount of time that I could spend there, and I noticed that this particular year, you know, I've built a group of friends, you know, fellow artists and peers and things, you know, over the last few years, between the Illustration Masterclass and AlexCon. And I know in previous years I spent a little more time, you know, talking to artists and, you know, just kind of hobnobbing, where this time I simply felt like I was spending all of my free moments just trying to catch up with people that I don't get to see all year. You know, to you know, like yourself and like Grant and you know, some others that I didn't really feel like I was able to get to really know too many of the newer artists that may have not been there in previous years or I haven't met, and I also didn't feel like I had the opportunity to really, you know, spend a lot of time in the main show to see the art. And I don't know if that was just poor time management on my part, or you know, whether some of the programming was just, you know, so interesting that I didn't want to miss that portion of the show, and figured I can get back to some of the other things after that. But yeah, I definitely didn't get as much networking in this year as I had done other years. But that just might come down to the fact that I've met so many people over the last few years that sometimes it might have just hit a critical mass.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. I was thinking the same thing. Like the first year I went, you know, I knew a handful of people maybe. And then the second year, you know, I knew a good quarter of the people there. And the third year I knew a good, you know, 2/3 of the people there. So, you know, every year, because like you're right, it is quite a stable convention with a stable, you know, stable set of people that go, you know, it ends up being, you're right, less introductions and less new faces and more, you know, just getting back to those old relationships or catching up. But, you know, I do try to make it a point to, this year when I went to AlexCon, I think I had broken some ground personally right before then. And I had some very specific sort of technical questions I wanted to ask some people. So I tried to get as much out of it as I could. And I guess every year is a little different for me because I have different questions. The first year was just, you know, breaking into the industry. What do I do? Who are people? You know, what is this all about? You know, the second year I was meeting some specific clients and solidifying some friendships, and this year it was a little more technical for me, a little more, you know, asking some people like, say, Petar, some very specific technical questions. I asked Mark Zug a fair bit, so I think even though the curriculum may change, it's sort of up to the individual to make their own curriculum as well, to have their own questions and their own goals and go out of their way to get them answered. So for myself, this year was less professional and a little more technical. How about you guys? How was your experience different versus the experience that the con provided or changed? How was your experience different based on what you got out of it or what you wanted to get out of it?
Well, for me, and again, not to just plug, but I talked about this at length on my website, my main blog page, which is grantcooley.com. This year was a lot different for me. Not only was there a change in the programming, a lot of different changes, but I went feeling more in control. I had a more critical eye going on the floor, and was, again, on my blog, talk a lot about it, just about being devastated walking the main floor and just seeing how far people are going, what they're pushing, where I'm not challenging myself, but going in with a very critical eye and thinking, what are they doing? How can I achieve any of this? Or should I even be doing this? What's going on? But being able to come out the other side and being inspired by that. So hitting the main floor, hitting a couple of lectures, but really amping up for the room party, which this year was fantastic and was amazing. I met new folks, got to hang out with some great guys. Chris Ron, who I'd met before at Gen Con, is a fantastic guy and ended up kicking it with me and Dan and Eric. My best friend Mike Balachik from Eridani Studios helped me throw it. We ended up throwing it in onesies that we'd bought the night before, just as kind of a theme. And it was a blast. But that was like a big focus for me, was not only seeing my friends again, but presenting this thing. In fact, the rooms had been booked by the time I had went to sign up for a room. And I called Jeannie up, and she said, well, you've got to have this room party. It's got to happen. I've heard it's epic. And, you know, I ended up getting a room through this thing. It was a lot of fun. It was really cool. Had a great time. Next day, went to some events, some lectures. But even then, the whole day, I was amping up for the AlexCon Jam that night to perform with, if that's what it should be called, but to get on stage and make some noise alongside Jeannie and Mark Zug, Kristen Crest, and a bunch of other folks. For me, again, it was this, I guess all that to say, that I went from being an outsider looking in and just being thrilled to be among these demigods to the second time just feeling really human and just kind of finding out that I had a place, even performing at the AlexCon Jam the first year, being invited by Jeannie, which was amazing that she even knew who I was and wanted me to be a part of it, to this year going and seeing like my friends, seeing the artwork and feeling like an old hat at this, but then just really feeling like I was a part of something. Not that I was an outsider because my artwork has a lot further to go, but that I was included in a weird stagehand kind of way. They're allowing somebody from the middle of nowhere in Nashville who's just out here doing his own thing to allowing him and one of his best buds to get up and show their work and sing some songs and throw some shenanigans. And again, that's unique. So I guess, you know, the big change, just feeling more at home and feeling really a part of things. Like I'm part of a family that invited me in and that continues to grow and meeting new people and new opportunities. And it's just exciting. And it's very heartwarming to think that even if I didn't pursue an illustration career and put a lot of this on the back burner, which I very well may have to do with what's going on in my life, that I'll still have this event where I can go and have that cheers mentality where, if not everybody, at least the folks I want to know my name and I get to be a part of things. And that's incredible to me.
Mark?
Well, I can say that this year, and I don't know that I haven't said this after everyone, but I left AlexCon this year with a solidified realization of what I want to do with my work, which direction I want to push it, and why. I feel like I've not had that amount of personal understanding until this year. And it was, there was a number of things that kind of prompted my personal change in viewpoint. Seeing all of the work from all of the other artists and individuals that had their work on display there was definitely part of it. Having some, you know, deeper discussions with some of the artists that I consider, you know, mentors or role models helped. And, you know, just viewing some of the decisions that other people have made, you know, about their own work and the direction for their work has really prompted me to, you know, really have a good understanding of the direction that I want to go from here out and not flounder as much as I may have in the past.
Yep. I guess what it does is it gives you that kick in the ass again, and it gives you that motivation, but it also gives you the target. It clarifies, you know, what a successful artist looks like. You know, perhaps you talk to them and you know what a successful artist does, then, you know, I think for me, one of the things was looking at Petar's sketches, just sort of opened my eyes again as to the labor, you know, the pains that are needed to be taken, to not get lazy and to just, you know, draw the same thing, you know, three or four times if that's what it takes, and to just, you know, don't expect those instant results, but have a real sort of workmanlike attitude and a real craft attitude, putting hours into something. If it needs crazy hours, then you've got to just do it. So again, for me, I guess one of the things was just seeing the successful artists, seeing perhaps some of the ingredients that makes them successful, and you know, just going home with a new resolve to be that type of artist. So I guess we should maybe wrap it up here then. Any last words you guys would like to say about this year's ILXCon experience and how it may have differed, or, you know, what your hopes are?
I would just like to say that seeing Grant in a onesie was really disturbing.
Dude, I rocked it. And that actually made me feel good. It was awesome. It was an Eeyore onesie for anybody who wonders out there, and you can get them at Walmart.
Now, don't ask me where you find a onesie that will fit a guy who is, what, about 6'2", 6'3", to, you know, 190 pounds, 200 pounds?
You are right on. 6'2", 190 pounds. Thanks. See, I told you, I apparently was rocking the onesie. It made me feel good. I needed that. Just now, Mark, the validation I got from you was fantastic. So that's what I would say about ILXCon, is go and you'll get validation from Mark Harchar, because he's a heck of a guy.
And if that's all you're looking for, God love you.
Hey, come on. We're all looking for something in this big, crazy world. And, you know, you take what you get. And I'm glad to get what I get. So what I would say, actually, in addition to that, is that this year it really is just exciting to see what Patrick and Jeannie have got worked out, how they're bringing the world into it, that they are continuing to push it and take it further, and really just include more and have more in it in a time in a world where there's far less substance and far more lucrative solutions to things, to see some great people presenting a great opportunity and a great product that I can recommend wholeheartedly, that I can get behind 110% and be excited enough that I, like, how can I volunteer? How can I be a part of it? How can I support this endeavor because of how important, meaningful, and life-changing it has been for me? And to see them take the feedback they've been given and already putting into play and presenting us with a guideline and a timetable for these wonderful changes, it just continues to be inspiring and validating as a person, as an artist, and a friend of these people.
Mark?
I was disturbed to see Grant in a onesie.
Yeah. No, you know, I thought this year going, I was just going to basically go for the social aspect. You know, I thought, okay, well, it's my third year. I've met, you know, the main art directors that I wanted to meet, and, you know, I sort of know what the industry's about, and, you know, I have my crew of friends, which, you know, is like half the people there. So I didn't actually expect to get much out of it other than a good time, but I did get a lot out of it. I got just as much out of it as I got the previous two times when I was filling large gaps in my knowledge. So I think I attribute that to just having a plan, having an idea of what I wanted to get out of it and pursuing it. So I think, you know, for anybody wanting to go to ElixCon for their first time, they're going to have, you know, as Grant mentioned, you know, the awkward time where they're just trying to be included in things and feeling like an outsider. But, you know, also when you get over that and when you get initiated into the industry, make sure you have like a personal agenda as to what you want to get out of this. What models are you looking at? You know, what technical questions do you have? And make sure to get, you know, a year's worth of those questions answered, because, you know, you have to wait until the following year to see this concentration of resources and artwork again. So why don't we wrap it up? Mark, why don't you tell us your website again?
My website is markhartjar.com. And I want to append just this one quick thing. The high point of this year's ElixCon for me was there's a listener of the podcast by the name of Denman who came up to me because he listens to the podcast and he really enjoys them. And he felt, you know, kin enough with us as, you know, the people who discuss these topics in this forum that he was interested in my opinion on his portfolio and asked me to give him a review of his work. And I gladly did that for him. And you know, very good artist, and you know, had some things to say to him about it. And just the fact that, you know, we are getting across to people like that, and we have, you know, generated that type of response, was one of the high points for me. And, you know, having that forum where we were then able to get together, you know, to meet in person after, you know, just being podcast commentator and listener, you know, was pretty exciting for me. So that being said, Grant, where can people see your work at?
They can see the work of Grant Cooley at www.grantcooley.com.
All right. Grant puts the cool in Cooley.
Put something in it.
And Mike. My name is Mike Sass, and my website is sassart.com, and my blog is sassart.blogspot.com. So great episode, guys, and stay tuned. Maybe we'll have another episode, and won't be 6 months between them this time.
Now a few words from Chris Ron and Tyler Jacobson on their experience at ElixCon.
Hi, we're here at ElixCon with Tyler Jacobson.
Hello.
So Tyler, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe give us your website and blog?
Oh, my website is tylerjacobsonart.com and my blog is tylerjacobson.blogspot.com. And I guess a little history about me is I recently, 2.5 years ago, graduated from the Academy of Art University in San Francisco. And I wanted this little, pretty much right when I got out of school, I started doing some work for Wizards of the Coast, D&D. And I've been doing that pretty much ever since. And during that time, I've transitioned over into digital art. I worked with oils just about when I got out of school and for some of my early commission work, and now I'm all digital.
Do you do game art full time?
Yeah, that's about I do. Well, that's about all the work I get is game art. I do have a rep in New York City, Richard Solomon, and I do some non-game stuff with him. That's more magazine work. It tends to be. I recently did some work for Scientific America. Scientific American. So yeah, that's. The stuff I do with him in New York is non-fantasy work.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit about your process? I see you do both traditional and digital.
Would you say the digital now constitutes more of your practice?
Yeah, I would say that's just about 100% of how I work now is digital. And it was sort of a transition for where I was doing oil paintings. And I ended up doing lots of correction and additions and changes digitally. And so I got to a point where I just wanted to switch and kind of cut out the middleman, so to speak, and just do it all in the computer. And it kind of changed my workflow. I'm very comfortable working that way now. I don't have to. One of my main problems that stressed me out, I guess, was the amount of cleanup and drying times, those kinds of things. And I felt I got a bit more free when I was working digitally, and I could either step away when I needed to, or it just helped my process a lot better.
So I guess maybe your experience initially painting in oils informed the way you paint in digital. Is that correct?
Absolutely, and that's something I would totally support. That if you are going to try and become a digital artist, and have a really solid foundation in traditional mediums. I mean, when I'm working digitally, I'm just trying to figure out how I would do it if it was in oils, and what tools I can use digitally to make it look like I was painting in oils. It's all part of my thought process.
Can you tell us a little more about your process? Like, do you do an initial drawing in pencil, or do you go right to the computer for your drawing?
I do some in pencil, and sometimes I'll do it in the computer. It kind of depends on, well, you know, how I'm feeling like. I do like to have the paper, you know, because sometimes when you're working with digital tools, it gets kind of, you feel kind of plastic because there's not much resistance. So I do like to work with either Prismacolor pencils or you know, graphite on paper to get my initial drawings, and I'll scan those and then it'll work from there.
All right. Now it seems like your main client is for Dungeons and Dragons, Wizards of the Coast. Can you tell us a little bit about working with them? What are some of the great opportunities that you get with them, and just describe the experience as an artist working for such a big important company?
When I first started, it was you know, it was little small projects, but now it's pretty full time, and it's been really great. It's they really have a brand they're trying to sell, and it's fairly easy to work within that brand. They have lots of nice reference for you, and you know, as I've gotten, you know, I started out small, and as I've kind of evolved into doing more cover work for them, and the opportunity wise, I think it's been great because it's sort of led me into other Wizards of the Coast properties like Magic the Gathering, which I just started getting some work for as well. But you know, all the art directors are really fun to work with. They're really nice people.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit about your ILXCON experience? I take it this is your first ILXCON. Can you tell us a little bit about how the sales were, how the fan response was, and if you'd come again?
Yeah, this is definitely my first time. It was quite interesting shipping all my paintings out of here, but you know, that was I'm all the way on the West Coast, so I had to get a big, huge box together and ship that out. And that was cool when it was all here and I got to hang it up. Sales-wise, I mean, I've brought some prints with me, and I've moved some prints, and some people seem to be interested in some paintings. And this being the last day, we'll see what happens there. I've got my fingers crossed. But I'd definitely come again. Whether I have a table or not, I've come here just to meet all the artists and see the originals. And I mean, it's so great to talk with everybody. It's kind of a smaller venue, you know. It's not like a Comic-Con where there's just thousands of people shuffling through. There's lots of really good fans, people who are very interested in seeing original art, and yeah, it's an invaluable experience.
Great. I see you're part of the Shadow Core Collective.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and what that is and where we can find information?
All right, well, Shadow Core is a little group of fantasy game illustrators that Craig Spearing has kind of organized us all together, and it's going to be a blog, and it's up now, and we're all sort of posting our fantasy game work and our experience, and we're hoping that it'll kind of evolve into maybe people can post tutorials, and we've got some of that going on now. But you know, I personally would love to see, you know, people start talking about their process and maybe even the tools they use. I use digital tools, so. You know, I'm thinking I'll probably put together like my experience with I use the Cintiq, so maybe I'll do a little review on that product.
Where can we find the Shadow Core Collective on the web?
The Shadow Core blog is called shadowcoreillustration.blogspot.com, and we have a great lineup of guys. and a few ladies. And so come check it out. You get a chance and see the progress we have going on.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. And thanks a lot for the interview. And we hope to see you back next year. And we hope the listeners gain some information from it. Thanks
Absolutely.
A lot.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, we're here at the last day of ILXCON with Chris Ron. Chris Ron, why don't you tell us a little about yourself and where we can find your work?
Well, let's see. I always grew up drawing monsters, basically haven't stopped the entire time. I went to school at the Academy of Art University in San Francisco, same as Tyler Jacobson, who's also here. And yeah, I studied illustration there and graduated with a portfolio, kind of hoping for work in the card art book cover market, and started working for Magic within the first year after I graduated. And
that's really interesting. Did you have like teachers or any sort of connection when you were going to school that allowed you to build a portfolio and get the work you did so quickly?
No, actually, the illustration program at the Academy was pretty traditional. I kind of had to shoehorn my style into their classes, but they were great in terms of teaching me the technical fundamentals, you know, that kind of thing, which are really important, especially when you have to make up things like monsters and that kind of thing. You really need to know anatomy and structure and that kind of thing.
Was Tyler in your class in year? Was he ahead or behind
you? No, he was 1 year behind me, and the way the Academy set up, that meant that I never met him. Even though, I mean, it's a pretty big department. It's about 500 kids, so yeah.
That's really interesting. So can you tell us a little bit about your process when you're making card art?
Sure. Well, I basically do a thumbnail. I start out with a really, really ugly thumbnail that's really rough. But if it feels right, I scan that in and block in values and kind of figure out what I'm doing in Photoshop. And then throw a little color on it, and that's the sketch that I'll submit to my art director. And if it gets approved, then basically I take that sketch, print it out, and I use a light box to do a larger, like to basically trace the sketch and then do a refined final drawing from that. Then I transfer that drawing to the board with graphite transfer paper. And then from there I just spray fix the graphite down, throw down some matte medium to seal the board, and then just go to oils.
So I see most of your work is for Magic and WoW. Can you talk a little bit about how you like working for those projects and what are the sort of challenges of each?
Sure. Yeah, they're both fun, both similar and different, because you know, WoW is based on a video game, so when you get an assignment, they send you screenshots from the game as opposed to you know, sketches or something like that. But yeah, I mean, each one kind of has their own style that you have to incorporate a little bit. WoW really needs intense color, while oftentimes Magic is more moody and gives you a little bit more artistic freedom. But yeah, they both pros and cons.
So I see ILXCON is, this is your first ILXCON. So how was it? How were the sales? How was your experience here?
Good. I definitely plan on coming back if I get the chance. It's been both lucrative, and I've gotten to meet tons of artists in the field that I've been, whose work I've been looking at for years, but that I've never had the chance to meet. And lots of guys that I look up to. I've never seen an original Donato before. That was pretty awesome for me.
Well, it's great that you're here. I think you've made a splash, and everybody is loving your work in person.
Thanks.
So you're part of the Shadowcore Collective. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
I am, yeah. Shadowcore is it's a blog / website, I guess we could call it that, where we talk about fantasy art, both the business and the... how to say it? Both the business and the just technical art side of it. A lot of process work. There's a great group of us. Right now it's 12.
Who? What are some of the artists in the group?
Well, we got Chris Burdett and
oh wow,
and Mike Sass. I don't know if you've heard of him before.
Wait, that's me.
Yeah.
Anna Christensen, who's also here, and Tyler Jacobson, who is awesome, and I'm looking at him right now across the room. Oh, and don't forget about Craig. Craig Spearing put the whole thing together.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. So, Chris, where can we find more information about you, your website, blog?
You can check out my website. It's just ronart.com. And there's a link to my blog there. My blog's just chrisronart at blogspot.com.
So that's Chris Ron, R-A-H-N.
R-A-H-N, yes, like Genghis Khan.
Awesome. Well, thanks for talking to us, Chris. We look forward to seeing your work in product and in person in the future.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at drawntodaypodcast@gmail.com. We're a member of the Visual Artists Podcast Network, which can be found at visualartistpodcastnetwork.com. If you would like to listen to past episodes, you can visit drawntodaypodcast@blogspot.com. The music for today's episode was provided by Collide. Information on Collide can be found at collide.net.